It's the Ross and Josh Show, ladies and gentlemen, and I played that song specifically for you, buddy.
I was wondering. Also, for a second there, when you went, "Hey, I'm my best friend on radio," I was looking out the window and I thought it was the Radio Yorkshire bloke. So you've done well there.
You genuinely thought it was the jingle, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
It's Radio Yorkshire. No, but, it's the E bit, isn't it?
It's the E bit, yeah.
Well, I'll go to our house. Well, I'll go to the foot of our stairs, as me Nan used to say.
The foot of our stairs?
Well, if she was surprised by something, she'd go, I'd go to the foot of our stairs.
What does that mean?
Well, it means she'd go to the foot
bottom of the stairs?
Bottom of the stairs, yeah.
Why would you do that if you were surprised?
I've just seen
a shooting star. Let's stand at the bottom of the stairs.
Stand at the bottom of the stairs and contemplate your life from here on in.
I feel like standing at the bottom of the stairs is a punishment rather than a place to dwell on amazement. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Look, my nan was... maybe the first time she'd ever seen stairs was the most surprised she'd ever been. I've lived in a bungalow for 25 years. What is this? What is this?
This
wooden hill to Bedfordshire. That's it. And then, actually, maybe someone said to them, "Why don't you go up the wooden hill to Bedfordshire?" And she got to the top and she went, "I'm still in Yorkshire. What's happened? I'm still very surprised. This whole proceeding has caused me to be very surprised. I will think of something to come up with from here on in that I'll say that will mean this."
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I wonder whether that saying is something that only your grandma said, but you just thought, well,
at
it must be commonplace.
At Radio _ Yorkshire, if you've heard, "Well, I'll get at foot of our stairs" before.
Please do, because I've never heard it.
Genuinely, yeah. And the other one, obviously, is, "Well, I'll get at our house."
What are these things? That's almost the same thing. Like, as if you've seen something surprising, you've gone, "Oh, go to our house." Got to the house, seen something else surprising, on, "Well, I've got to go further. I'll go to foot of stairs."
Look, I just think, right, that my nan had a very sheltered life. And when something...
Clearly, she'd never left the house by the sounds of it.
She never got up the stairs either. She always stopped at the bottom.
"What is up the stairs?"
"You'll never know, because I'm going to stand here at the foot of them and think about everything."
It's like a very Yorkshire attitude, isn't it? I'm not going upstairs. I don't need to. I've lived my entire life till now without going upstairs. Why would I start now?
I've got living room. I've got kitchen. I've got the pantry down here. Pantry's down here. It's fine.
The pantry.
The pantry.
On Radio Yorkshire.
"Welcome to the pantry. It's Radio Yorkshire." Yeah, we should do that, yeah. We should have... It'll be like a Ready, Steady, Cook kind of thing. We just open the cupboard, see what's there, and we'll make something.
Well, the actual Radio Yorkshire pantry. See what's in the kitchen and see what I can make out of...
Yeah.
Rooibos tea.
Glass.
Some almost gone-off milk. And some blueberries.
And some blueberries. Mmm. And then you can eat them, because I'm not going anywhere
near
that. All
right, that's fine.
Yeah. Absolutely near that. Anyway, it's the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire. What time is it, Josh?
What time is it? It's, what time is it?
It's 7:11.
It's 7:11, well,
which in America
good.
Means convenience store.
Or Japan.
Or Japan.
I've been to Japan, you know.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. They've got 7-Elevens. But it's 11 minutes past 7, which... It's amazing, because usually we would be up at 11 minutes past 7 on a Saturday morning.
We would, and we'd be going, "Mate, have you, what are we going to talk about?" That's what normally would be happening at 7-Eleven.
You'd be fumbling around trying to open the radio station.
I would be trying.
Whereas later you'll be fumbling around trying to lock the radio station.
Yes,
lock
exactly,
the
yeah.
station.
Did you put it in automation, Ross? No. No, I didn't, and I've left my keys inside. So for the next however many hours, it's silence on Radio Yorkshire. No, there'll be something. I'll do it right. Danny's in. Danny's still in. So that's primarily why he's in,
to make sure you lock up the building correctly.
Essentially, yes. Yes,
and that you don't steal anything or make
same
a mess.
Difference. Yeah,
or you know, or break anything, set anything on fire.
Yeah.
Pronounce words incorrectly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
Never. You've never done that, have you?
Never.
Never.
What was the one I did earlier?
You said, well, the word is spelt parenthesis, asterisks, if it's more than one of them.
Yeah, of course, parenthesis.
You've made that up! I'm sure, again, can somebody tweet in? I'm sure it is parentheses.
No, I think you'll find it's parenthesis. And what
it's
it
not
is,
parenthesis.
It, what it is, it's when your mum and dad write, are doing a PhD. And they go, have you got your thesis? I've got my parents' thesis.
That's what it is it?
Yeah, my parents' thesis.
That's what square brackets are.
No, just brackets in general.
Okay. You would honestly, you've gone through your life till this. All right, I would like to find out how it's meant to be pronounced, because I'm sure I've never heard anyone else say it like this.
Well, the thing is, you're not
so sure. Surprise
me.
You
don't know. At first, you were like, that's definitely wrong. Now, there's enough doubt in your mind that you're not quite sure that it's wrong or not.
No, but that's because you are overly confident about everything, and I know very little about anything. So it's easy for that balance to tip to that point.
Yeah, admittedly, I go through my whole life being overconfident.
This is why I think that you've gone through your life saying, how do you say it again? How do you say it?
I've forgotten now. Parenthesis.
Parenthesis. And no one's questioned you on it because you're a bit of a cocky one, aren't you, Ross Briley? And everyone's gone, oh, he must be saying it right. He's Ross Briley.
On Radio Yorkshire. That could be a feature. Ross Briley says things. Is he right? Is he wrong? Well,
there was parenthesis.
Yeah.
There was...
Verbatim.
Verbatim. Instead of verbatim. And the reason that I think it is that you've probably... You probably read more words than you've said out loud. I think these are words that you've read and thought, that's how you say it. Because it makes sense. Parenthesis. It's kind of how it's spelled. But I don't really read anything ever. So the way that I pick words up is someone says something and I go, I don't know what that means. And then they tell me.
But that doesn't mean that they were right.
That's true. That is true. I'd not thought about that. Maybe I'm saying it wrong because I read it from someone else.
It's Ross and Josh on Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello, welcome back. If you've missed us, 3 minutes and 3 seconds. You shouldn't have, really. No one's ever missed me after 3 minutes and 3 seconds. If anything, it's a sweet relief, I feel. 3 minutes and 3 seconds without
that. To be parted from your company at that point.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We haven't seen each other for a week, Josh.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It's the longest time I've not seen you in months.
It's nice, though, isn't it?
It is quite nice, actually. Yeah, yeah. I almost respect you as a human being again.
Oh, that will soon fade.
That will disappear. After 3 hours of looking and talking only to you tonight...
You'll have had enough again.
I'll have had more than enough.
Yeah.
And I'll have to go away to a different country again.
It's not... it was a different country actually you went to, wasn't it?
It was.
But, you don't always have to go to a different country, do you?
No, but it helps.
Yeah. I mean...
I could just go to a mate's house or the pub or the cinema. But a different country does help. Because then I almost forget you exist.
I mean, how much of a different country does it have to be? Because, like, there's the... What's that...
I've gone to the closest different country I could find.
There's an oil rig off the shore of England that someone has... And they've turned it into their own country. It's called SeaWorld or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I think you've got mixed up with SeaWorld there.
Do they have
performing seals?
I'll look it up and I'll find out in the next bit.
Yeah, because you can set up your own
country, like your own micronation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a micronation or not a principality? You could set up a principality if you had a prince.
This is what you would need.
Yeah.
Is Bel Air a principality?
What did you just call me? It is, yeah, yeah. And wherever prince is.
And wherever Prince is, yeah, it doesn't matter where he is.
You know, when he played Glastonbury was a principality for a weekend.
That's good. Well, what I'm saying is maybe you should set up... You shouldn't be the prince.
No, I don't want to be the prince, definitely
You should
not.
Find a prince of some sort and set him...
That's what I've been looking for years. Where is my prince? In shining armour.
I mean, I don't think any of the frogs or toads or other things like that, if you go around kissing them in Leeds, you're probably more likely to pick up a disease rather than a prince. But...
That's true, yeah.
You should. What I'm saying is, set up your own little micronation.
I will.
And when I'm doing your head in, you can just go there where the money's got your face on it and you...
Where the money's got your face on it. Do, da, da, da.
And everybody knows your name because you are the leader of the independent state and have made a law whereby to say you can't live there unless you know my name. Do, do, do.
Yeah, it's a bit like, I was thinking this, you know the phrase, the one-eyed man is king?
In the kingdom of the blind. Yeah.
The kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Now, there's two things that I haven't worked out. One, it's not true. If it's either not true and he's just got one eye and he's still blind... because it's the kingdom of the blind. Or he's a horrible man who has gone to a place where he has a major physical advantage over everyone.
And made himself king.
And enslaved them under his monarchy and rule, essentially.
You don't know what you would do under these situations, though, Ross, do you? You don't know what behaviours would come out of you given a certain situation.
So you're saying if I went somewhere where people...
If you created a country where everybody was unable to see... Would I go and take one of my eyes out and then make myself their ruler?
I mean, I wouldn't take one of my eyes out.
What I'm saying to you is, Ross, who knows? Maybe well, under those circumstances.
That's a fair
it's
point.
It's difficult to say unless I'm in the situation.
That is true. Would you like to be in the situation? Would you like me to remove one of your eyes?
No, I would hate to be in that situation.
I mean,
it'd be
it can
a terrible
be
existence.
It can be arranged. That's all I'm saying. I've got a hot spoon and a willing attitude.
A what attitude?
A willing attitude.
Oh, a willing attitude. I thought it was just something else. Anyway.
What did you think? Don't say what you thought.
There's many things that could be arranged, Ross, I'm sure.
Maybe a street party.
Street party, you could arrange that.
Or some flowers.
What about getting drunk in a brewery? Can you arrange that?
Oh, I don't know, but if anyone would like to have a physical altercation with baked goods in a place specifically designed for baked goods, that would be great.
Hang on, you're losing me there. You couldn't punch your way out of a... Something is this? What's the thing?
What? Couldn't punch your way out of what? What am I punching your way out of?
A paper bag. I don't know what you're getting at.
Bun fight in a bakery.
Oh, right. I literally don't know that.
No?
Don't know that phrase.
Well, if you go to the foot of our stairs, you'll find out.
It's another one of your nans, isn't it?
She owned a bakery and used to abuse her workers.
With buns.
With buns, just throwing them at the rest.
Very mild abuse.
Bake those buns now. That's how she used to speak. You're right, Nan.
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
She smoked 700 cigarettes a day.
There's no wonder she couldn't get up the stairs.
She was also Beelzebub. And she had a devil put aside for me.
Anytime
I went round.
She sounds like an incredible woman, your nan. Disciplining people with bread fights and...
Hello and welcome to Disciplining People with Bread Fights. On tonight's show, it's Janet.
Have you ever had a bread fight?
Is that a fight with somebody else using bread or where I fought bread?
Yeah, like, no, you don't fight the bread. Like
I fought the bread won. That kind of thing, yeah.
I mean, if you did, what are you doing? How's the bread won? unless you've eaten it and then you've become obese and therefore you've fought the bread, but it won.
It was a slow victory. It took them 40 years. I mean, admittedly, bread will eventually defeat me.
Yeah.
Because
if you keep
that's
eating
what
it.
This is.
Yeah.
People keep. I've had quite a few people say to me recently,
"You're fat."
No, the opposite. Okay. No, the very opposite. They've said, "Have you lost a bit of weight?" And I'm like, "Yeah, everywhere but here. Literally everywhere. I'm so unhealthy that the rest of my body is slowly withering away, apart from my belly, which is growing exponentially. It's almost like you know those things where you get like a balloon full of flour and they have like a face on it.
No.
Lived a completely different life to you.
I think so. You've done the balloon full of flour with a face on it. I did the kids' party game with the scarf and the gloves and the knife and fork and the bar of chocolate. I can't believe you never played that game.
I can't believe you never had a balloon with flour in it with a face on it.
Should we do a week where we swap childhoods?
No.
Okay. I had a very happy childhood, Ross. It's my adulthood that's
the problem.
It's
called ignorance is bliss. That's
why.
No.
Oh, because you're all you know everything and are worldly because of your balloon full of flour.
Look, and I'm saying this verbatim.
Go on then, say it verbatim.
I just wanted to say verbatim again.
All right. Go on, your balloon full of flour with a face on it.
Balloon full of flour.
You didn't have any mates.
Exactly. I had that, and I also had one of those things that you put a face on it and grass grew out of its head. You had one of them.
A grass head. I was going to say a potato. A grass head, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I'm from Chesterfield, so we made our own from grass seeds and a tight and some sawdust.
You did what, sorry?
We made our own.
All right, okay. What did you do the face with?
What do you mean?
What did you do the face with?
Got some googly eyes and just got elastic band around a bit of the tight.
That's true, because Chesterfield's greatest export is googly eyes. You mean to Chesterfield? I think so. Remind me. Crooked Spire, googly eyes. Oh, that's it, yes.
That's the one.
That's it. Chesterfield, how could I possibly forget? Yeah. What else is Chesterfield famous for? It's got a good market. You can buy a Super Nintendo on the market.
Cigarettes and sofas.
Right. Sofas, yeah, there is a lot of sofas. Yeah, yeah. Super Nintendos, though. Every time I went to that market...
Yeah, but Chesterfield isn't famous for the Super Nintendo.
No, but it's famous for the ease of acquiring one.
Purchase, yeah. Yeah.
If you, they literally respawn, they reproduce.
Do they?
Every time I bought one, I'd go back and there'd be another one in its place. It was terrifying.
It was yours. They'd been to your house and taken it again. Put it back
That's
on the
why
market.
I had to keep going buying it.
I've lost my PlayStation. I've lost my Super Nintendo Entertainment System again.
Lads, I keep going. I know this is the 19th time this year. Oh, well, you know, you're keeping us in business, son. Keep your window open.
What? Sorry?
Keep your window open when
keep
you're playing.
Your window open. Keep your window open at night. On Radio Yorkshire. I'm
going to come and take all your Super Nintendos. Oh, this is a bit creepy.
It's very creepy.
It is very creepy. Has anyone ever whispered the word Super Nintendo in your ear?
No. Did you just turn the microphones up for that whispering bit then? Because it got very intensely weird in my ear oils then.
No, I didn't know. I've just got a very strong whisper.
You lying get.
No, it's true. It's all true. Actually, no, it has, hasn't it?
It's got a lot louder.
God, it really has.
Why is that happening?
What's happening?
Are you honestly not doing anything?
No.
I think the radio station has an automatic whisper set. It's disgusting. I can hear every noise going on in my mouth.
I'm sorry, everyone at home.
We're going to talk at normal volume again.
That's terrifying.
So we've just discovered something that happens there at the radio station.
It's almost as if the radio station has leaned in.
To listen to what we're saying. Let's see how quiet we can get.
And the camera's looking at us.
The radio station.
Oh, God. Let's never do this again.
All right, now.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
There was that a little bit of distortion noise you got at the end of the song there that carried on.
Yeah, that's at the end. Yeah, yeah. For a second, I thought I'd done something wrong then.
You did, didn't you? You thought the station was going to blow itself up.
I thought the station was... No, we're not doing that again.
We're not doing that again. We've done that.
No, no. We'll be against that crisp next.
We've just got a text in from Trevor Sadler.
Have we?
Yeah, he said...
With your dad?
Yeah, he said, now then you two, what's it like to be, bad word, working at night? Ha, ha, ha.
Bad word?
Yeah, it's a swear.
Does your dad text you swears?
He does. He says, now then you... I'll assert a different word. Now then you two, what's it like to be flipping working at night? Ha, ha, ha. It's your dad, brackets. Josh, I mean. Close brackets. Parentheses.
Exactly, yeah. So, what? I'm so confused by that. He had to point out that it's your dad.
He said, it's your dad. And in brackets,
it's your dad.
Josh, I mean. So
he was...
He's texting me, but he's just making sure that... he's texting me on his phone, making sure that I know that it's not your dad.
Right. Okay. Well, because it says dad on your thing.
No, it says Trevor.
Oh, right. You got your dad in your phone as Trevor.
I have him under as Trevor Sadler.
What? Why? Is he not your real dad?
And also my mother under Ruth Sadler.
Is there some sort of emotional disconnect between you and your parents?
No, I just like to put everyone's full name in my phone.
It's very formal.
Yeah, well, that's how I like to keep it.
No, as far as... Do you shake hands instead of hugging as well when you see... father, mother, Ruth, Trevor?
It's not far off. It's pretty, you know...
Has it been? Very well, good, yes, yeah. Well, it's been lovely talking to you.
Like
to
I said...
Fair, that's probably... You don't talk to them, do you?
I do, but I mean...
Not enough,
not that. Not that. I mean, this is the most they hear of me, this radio
they'd
show.
They'd love to see you, but they love you, Josh.
I know they do.
And they don't see you.
I love them as well, but...
Go and see him more, Josh. Go and see him. Go and see him, because I've had enough.
To be fair, right?
See him more.
I will go and see them more.
Because I don't want to see you anymore.
That's fine.
I'm breaking up with you.
That's fine. Break up with me. I couldn't be happier.
We're not compatible.
That's fine. To be honest, when I do ring, maybe the once a month that I actually pick up the phone when my dad's ringing me, at the end of the phone call...
Wait, hang on. That's terrible.
Why is it?
How often does he ring you?
I get a lot of missed calls.
You're a horrible son.
I don't just do it to him. I do it to everybody.
Yeah, fair point, yeah.
But he'll say, at the end
Can
of the conversation... At the end of the... Yeah, whenever you want. Well, I could do it, like, just in person, not on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, you could try and get my attention,
right,
and I'll just look at you like there's nobody there.
Why don't you do it for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes? Did you listen to Radio Yorkshire last night? There was two presenters on. One of them stopped talking. The other one had an existential crisis.
Which is which, though?
Find out on Radio Yorkshire. Who knows? Anyway, it is good to be on Radio Yorkshire. What were you about to finish your story?
No, I was about to say that every time that my dad rings me and I actually talk to him, at the end of the conversation, he always says, do you want to speak to your mum? And I say, only if she wants to speak to me. And he'll turn and go, Ruth, do you want to speak to our Josh? And she'll go, no.
Well, now you know how everyone else feels.
I'm fine with that.
Give me the option.
Well,
every morning someone came into my room and went, Ross, do you want to speak to Josh? And I'd go, no.
Can we hire a secretary for our house that is in charge of all communications between me and you?
Yes, that would be great, yeah. But it's like a cliche thing when people fall out, isn't it? Tell Josh I'm not talking to him today. I don't know why my voice went deeper at the end.
You have a tendency to go deeper when you're getting serious about things.
Well, look, I have to the correct gravitas for the situation.
We've got a lot of recording equipment at home that we could use as a mediator between us both to sort of go, record a message. Start dictaphone. Tell Ross that we run out of eggs and it's not my fault. And I mean, yes, I dropped them all, but can you go to Lidl and get some more, please? Other supermarkets are available. And then
10-4.
10-4. Get a CB radio.
Let's buy a truck and a CB radio.
We don't need the truck. No, but it's a nice addition.
I want to go sit outside in the truck and you can talk to me on the CB.
Do you know
radio.
If we had a truck, and I don't mean the whole truck, but just the front bit that carries.
We had a truck. I don't mean the whole truck, but nothing but the truck. With Ross and Josh.
With Ross and Josh on Radio Yorkshire. It's a law show based in a truck. We're a mobile judiciary system.
Yeah, exactly.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
It's Ross Briley and Joshua Sadler, otherwise known as Ross Briley and Joshua Sadler, otherwise known as Ross and Josh, for short. Or, them lads over there.
Randj.
Redandj.
Redandj. Or just Rj.
Yeah.
Or Ranj.
Or
Raj.
Or that smug get and that hairy midget. That's pretty much it.
That's what we get, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How's life, Josh?
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, yeah. What have you been up to?
Not a lot. That's why it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's why it's pretty good, yeah.
I'm still here, still exist.
Do you?
I do, yes.
Are you sure about that?
I am, therefore I am.
No, that's not the saying, no.
Is it not that?
No, it wasn't, no. No. So I think, therefore I am. And you don't think, do you?
Like I said, I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
So...
What are you?
Must be real.
You're right there, mate.
Yeah, I'm a real-life boy, Geppetto. So.
You are. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about things, including... specifically, the theme for the show is subjectivity.
Yeah. It's a very broad theme.
It is a very broad theme. And you might like it or you might not.
Depends on your tastes.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Because I went to... we've both been to things in the past week.
Yeah.
Full stop. that have brought about the conversation of things that you really like or people can't understand why you like them or, in particular, the diametric opposites of tastes that actually exist in the world.
Yeah, that was the word that you said earlier that I didn't know. Diametric.
Ah, but am I pronouncing it correctly?
I don't know, because I don't know what it means. But, as a subject as a whole...
It could also be Dian Imperial, depending on the where you're from.
That's very good, Ross. A joke about measuring systems.
Yes, there'll be more of those as the day progresses. Because you went to a festival.
I stood at the meter of our stairs.
You were good, like that.
All right, well,
that's
done.
The cleverest thing you've ever said.
Thank you.
And will ever say.
Where did you go, Ross?
I went to the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah,
and you went to a math rock festival.
I went to a math rock festival. Yeah,
Which I just can't work it out.
It was called Arc Tangent.
Did you did you have to pay a large sum for a ticket?
No, I divided that large sum into adequate amounts. I didn't pay anything.
No, you
didn't. For free.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, my friend's mother lives on the site.
Did everyone there get? Did they feel like equals? I'm sorry. We're going to talk about this. I need to give you a trigonometry warning. They keep coming.
Hang on. How does that even work as a joke? A trigonometry warning.
Yeah, it's like a trigger warning.
What's a trigger warning?
Oh well, I forgot.
Come on.
Your ignorance has really just ruins most things.
Well, get used to it.
You went to a festival. I'm sick of you. You went to a festival.
I did, yeah. It
called Arc Tangent. Why is it called Arc Tangent?
It's called I believe an arc tangent is a mathematical something or other. I don't know, Ross. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got no idea. It's got something to do with maths.
It's got something to do with maths, right?
But I tried to explain to you last week on the show when I was at the festival what math rock is. It's kind of difficult, I suppose, but it's mainly instrumental music. It's sort of angular sounding, and as far as it's a bit jarring and in odd tempos or rhythms.
It's a lot like our show.
It is. Do you know, actually, I described math rock to someone else as being like jazz with distortion.
All right, okay.
I think that's a simple way of putting it.
Some people would literally rather walk into the sea than go to that.
Well, this was the thing. We got free tickets, so actually, three of the people that I went with absolutely despise the music.
Really?
And it's a very intense weekend.
Like, was your girlfriend one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't despise all of it, actually. She liked Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
And a couple of the... She likes screamy things.
Right, okay.
But she doesn't like the stuff that's really technical and twiddly.
Right, okay.
But... Yeah,
is that a metaphor for your relationship?
It is, always. even for me, by the end of the 3 days, I was like, I just want to listen to some Bill Withers or some, you know, something along those lines.
Excuse me, mate, you couldn't play a song with three chords in a melody, could you?
I was yearning for a chorus by the end of it, yeah.
Sorry, the dart just fell off there. That was...
off-putting.
It was a little bit off-putting, yeah.
There's a math rock band called Darts.
Is there?
Yeah.
Are they off-putting?
No, they're very good.
All right, do you ever get bored whilst listening to them?
Do I get bored of what?
Darts.
Listening to darts? No.
Darts bored.
Look, I mean, I am your audience, Ross. You've got to bear that in mind with these jokes.
Yeah. It's not that. That's the simplest possible joke I could have made.
I'm not picking up what you're putting down. What are you going to do about it?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. So you went to... I'm sick. I'm going to have some sort of... what's the
intervention?
Word?
Meeting?
No, it's...
Vocabulary.
It's like a quest, but not as fantastical. No, it's... Do you even get that reference either?
Yes, I get that reference. Right, okay. It's from Kattery.
Yeah, that's the most obscure thing I've said.
Exactly, Ross. This is you're pointing out very exactly what I am like as a person in terms of what my tastes are, the things I'm likely to get.
Yeah.
If it's part of pop culture...
Right.
I am not going to get it.
Right, okay.
And it's not intentional. I just happen to like obscure things.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Josh, he can't peel a banana, but he can design you a building.
Exactly, right. That's me in a... What's those things that nuts are in the... What's the... I don't like nuts, so I don't know what they...
Go away. Oh, honestly.
I'm an idiot, Ross, but a self-aware one. That's not true at all.
That's not true. So basically, the next couple of hours, we're going to be talking about subjectivity and things that you really love and other people just don't get. Because there's a lot of things in life that are just like... If I got a ticket for V Festival or something, I might be like, look, I'll find something I like. It'll be all right, kind of thing. Yeah, we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
But there'll be some things that if I got a free ticket for, I'd rather stay at home. And I think ArcTangent will be one of those things for a lot of people.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's a very small festival, and it's certainly not for everybody. In fact, it's not for most people.
It's not for most people.
But
there.
The people that but the real hardcore fans of it that love it. It's like all of their favourite bands in one weekend, sort of thing.
And that kind of goes, there's a lot of things at the Edinburgh Festival as well that's like that. I mean, there's literally everything at the Edinburgh Festival.
I think the Edinburgh Festival is quite different to that. It's very different as far as everything is there.
No, but it's like that. It's like if ArcTangent was part of a bigger... If ArcTangent was one thing and it was part of a bigger occasion.
If it was one of the sections of Glastonbury.
Yes, but there was hundreds of sections and they were all quite extreme, potentially.
Yeah.
So you can find something for everyone at Edinburgh, but you can also find things for no one.
There's a lot of things that I can't understand why anyone would like at Edinburgh. I haven't been this year, but previous years.
Not only that, why anyone would create it as well. That's the other aspect.
Yeah.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
That's right. It's the only radio station possibly that would follow Black Sabbath with Love Shack there. It's Ross and Josh on Radio Yorkshire. That's the obvious segue, I feel, from Black Sabbath to the B-52s.
I can't think of anything else that could follow it.
It's obvious,
really?
Isn't it? It's obvious.
It's the only thing that you can do.
Can you do an impression of Ozzy Osbourne in the B-52s?
Love Shack, baby, Love Shack. Shut in!
Jack, come down from there, you lurch yourself.
Jack, get off the Love Shack, will ya?
That's not for ya, that's more than Sharon's, that is. That's your mother's Love Shack, that is.
The Love Shack, that's more than your mother's bedroom.
Shall we call it? There he is, old Oswald Osmussen.
Oswald Osmussen Osborne, 19... 48, actually.
Yeah, yeah, he was in Aston in Birmingham. John Michael is his first name.
He's also friends with another musical artist from that area of the world, John Michael Jars.
He is, yeah, of course, who is the West Country equivalent of Jean-Michel Jarre. Who starred first, though?
I don't know. He's the West Country equivalent.
The Black Country.
The Black Country, not the West Country. It's different place.
I'm sorry, terribly sorry there.
Soros.
Terribly sorry. Terribly sorry. How is the Aussie? Have you spoken to Aussie recently?
I tried to. It was a very troublesome experience.
Really was.
We were shouting over the garden gate at him.
Yeah.
The garden fence, sorry, not the garden gate.
No, because you don't need to shout. You can see someone. How big's your gate? To be fair, you are quite small.
No, I was Aussie screaming in his face. He couldn't hear me. His eardrums
are gone. He was laid face down on the floor at the other side. You're all right, Aussie?
Not really. I fell over in my slippers on the pathway in the garden.
Broke
my face.
Sharon! Ozzy Osbourne on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Would you say Black Sabbath are one of those love or hate kind of things?
No, because I don't love or hate them. Having said that, maybe that's because I haven't heard that much of them. What I've heard of them, I like.
Yeah.
Maybe if I listen to a whole album a few times over, I might grow to love them.
Oh, well, there's always that to look forward to, isn't there?
I think Black Sabbath is one of those things that I've never really listened to it, but I've kind of got to sort of respect for it because I know that it's where sort of a lot of metal music came from.
Right, okay.
So, even though I'm not into it, you know, I'm not going to say a bad word against it.
Well, all right, that's good, because we're on the radio. Please don't say a bad word against it. That would be terrible. It's Ross and Joshua with you through till 10 p.m, unless you listen to the Sunday show, in which we're here until 7 p.m. So either way, we've got a long way to go yet.
Yeah.
We've got a long way to go. But yeah, we were talking before the news about subjectivity.
Yeah.
Mainly the way... As I said, there's a love and hate thing. Marmite is the obvious example. But I honestly couldn't care less. I genuinely couldn't care less about Marmite.
Yeah, I think it's an advertising campaign that initially worked.
Yes,
and now there's a lot of people coming out of the woodwork that say, do you know what? I am absolutely indifferent to Marmite.
I am middle of the road, if anything. I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, well, I mean, being middle of the road about it, it's Marmite, so it doesn't really matter.
No.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. No.
But I just mean being middle of the road in general is not something I'm necessarily that a fan of. I'm saying that. I don't mean that if you are...
What do you mean, Josh?
I'm struggling to work out.
I have absolutely no idea.
I'm saying if you are the product, the thing, the artist, the comedian, the sauce that you spread on your toast...
The artist formerly known as Marmite.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have your own principality and a multi-brewery, wasty, blah-de-blah. Then, you know... Middle of the road is not so good. I'm saying if you like
what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Sorry, I'm having a breakdown.
I think you are.
Okay,
you're supposed
I've got
to be
it. What I'm trying to say is,
not you.
If people are a fan of middle of the road things,
right?
Fine.
Like what? For example, like what?
Coldplay or
they're obvious example.
Yeah, Stereophonics in a way I always thought with
ooh,
quite
yeah,
middle
are,
of the road.
Yeah.
As well. They had some really good tunes, but generally they were for me.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of middle of the road things, fine. But if you are the middle of the road thing. I'm not going to have a go at you, but I'm not a fan, generally.
Right, okay.
You know, if, like, of just a very bland, middle-of-the-road thing that's not one extreme or the other. I don't know.
I feel like you're trying to make a point, but you're scared of offending me. Like I'm middle... Like, you're looking at me like I'm middle of the road. You're going, look, I'm not saying I hate you.
You're certainly not middle of the road, Ross. And I'm not necessarily saying that in a negative context. Or a positive one.
No. But definitely not middle of the road. If anything, I'm a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a cul-de-sac. A comedy
you are
cul-de-sac.
A bit of a sack, yeah.
Right. So what you're trying to say is if something's middle of the road... And I'm going to sum your entire point up in
go
about
on.
10 seconds.
Go on,
it's
then.
Taken you...
10
three
minutes.
And a half minutes.
Okay.
If it's middle of the road, you hate it more than if it's something you should hate.
Yeah, probably. If it's terrible, it doesn't offend me as much as if it's middle of the road.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because I almost think either someone must have tried really hard for it to be terrible.
Yeah, or they haven't tried
at
all,
which
doesn't annoy me too much.
No, because I can empathise entirely.
Yeah. I get that. Something is terrible because you've not put any effort into it. Fine by me.
I can only imagine there's people sat at home going, well, you're too close to the bone there, lads. That's incredibly apt for this evening on Radio Yorkshire. Too close to the bone with Radio Yorkshire.
We'll be interviewing Yorkshire's best butchers.
We'll be interviewing a man who's accidentally plunged a knife into his arm. That's too close to the bone, that, lads.
You should probably be in hospital.
You should probably be in hospital. On Radio Yorkshire.
Don't be in hospital on Radio Yorkshire.
We could do that. We could do hospital radio.
No, we could.
Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, we could do that, I suppose,
yeah,
couldn't
great.
We?
I'd absolutely love it. So, like I said, you went to ArcTangent and I went to Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
The Fringe.
The Fringe Festival.
Which is, again, the thing with the Fringe is it used to be a fringe kind of thing. You know,
it's on the edge. Like, yeah.
It was on the edge.
It's the alternate scene.
But if anything, it has got a bit flabby around the middle. It's got a bit middle-aged.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. As is everyone who's there, either that or jaundiced, from my experience of everyone. There's a lot more for the everyday punter.
Well, what would you say? How much of what you saw was middle of the road?
50%.
I was asking for that, wasn't I?
Yeah,
really?
You were, essentially, yeah. You were, yeah. I saw a friend of the show, Peter Brush.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got a 4.5 star review.
And well deserved, I think, as well.
But, you know, from the only publication who gives half star reviews, anywhere else, it would have been a 5-star review.
Oh, Peter.
But they didn't give him the half. And he was, do you know what? He was genuinely upset about it.
Was he?
Because he was like, where's the other half?
He was upset Peter's... that he didn't get a 5-star review, though he'd got a 4.5-star review.
You know the thing about your cup's either half full or half empty? Peter, it's like his whole life is he's annoyed he's not got a head on his pint.
Yeah, he totally is.
But look, there's just a little bit. You've got a full pint, Peter.
Even if he's just absolutely smashed, not a Timberlake Steve's, but if he's done really, really well at a gig,
yeah,
there'll be one line that he half fluffed up a little bit, and that's all he'll concentrate on.
Yeah, the funny thing, I've just got a text from him. I'll be free pretty much on the Don at 9 o'clock. Yes, I'm going to ring him. We're going to ring him after 9 o'clock.
Amazing. We'll talk
ask
about
him about
his review.
It. Yeah. Because he got featured in The Guardian as one of the top 10 young comedians to watch.
Amazing.
And his reply to that was, not even a picture.
Oh, Peter.
Which is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm so happy.
Were you there for any of the shows that got reviewed?
What, his shows?
Mm.
Yeah.
Were you there for the 4.5-star?
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
no.
All right. Yeah.
But someone else reviewed that exact show.
Yeah.
And gave it 3 stars.
Well, here we go. Subjectivity, you know.
How does somebody in there essentially... And the quote was, the funniest thing I've seen on The Fringe so far...
From the 4.5-star
from the
one.
Standout.
If that had come from the 3-star...
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
All right, yeah.
But that's the key thing. How can two people go and see one thing and one person say it's the funniest thing on The Fringe so far and the other person say, essentially, it was middle of the road? Because that's what a 3-star review is, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you get that?
I don't know. I guess because people have...
Answer me.
Because clearly people have differences of opinion. But
they
you know,
do indeed.
You...
That's that wrapped up. There's...
No, but what I'm saying is people don't express it like that, do they? Especially with comedy. No. It's either, well, that was funny or it wasn't. Yeah. Not, it was for me, but it wasn't for me.
It was for me, but it wasn't for
it
me.
It was for me, but it wasn't for me.
It
I don't know what
me,
I'm talking about.
It wasn't
about.
For me. That's fine.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire. Radio Yorkshire. Traffic and travel.
That's right, if you're going out in your car tonight, guys, remember, it's getting dark, so put your lights on.
If you spot a problem on the roads, call the Radio Yorkshire Jamline number, 01132 775511.
There you go, if that's not the
That's
most...
right, remember, if you're planning on waking up tomorrow, guys, remember to breathe.
Open your eyes. It's a new day. Look, I'm just very useful. I'm just very useful. And sometimes you do forget the most obvious things, don't you? Like
you're
currently broadcasting sans trousers.
And San is furious about it.
Yes, he's livid because he's currently sans trousers.
San is sans trousers.
Yeah, because
you've
got sans trousers.
It's like Inception, isn't it?
It is a lot like Inception!
Inception! What would...
What is that? Where have you got this from?
Sand. Trousers. Sands. Trousers.
I can't stop. I've gone so deep into the dream. I can't stop. I'm never going to get out. Oh, my God.
Is that an app?
It's just
Inception. Oh, my God. We're going further into the dream.
Stop going into the dream. Come out of the dream, Josh.
That's like 12 levels.
Oh, God. Come out of the dream. You've done it again. Stop going into the dream.
You do realise every time you push that button, exponentially, the amount of years we have to spend in this dream goes up. We're currently on 5,000 years.
Oh, my
in this dream.
God, what are we going to do for 5,000? We can't do this show for 5,000 years.
It feels like it.
It feels like it, doesn't it? Oh, honestly, oh. What's the deepest you've ever been into a dream?
Oh, about 5 minutes.
Oh, he's done it again. He's gone down a level.
Oh, not another level.
Oh, terrifying.
There's no, have we got a noise for coming back up a level?
Fantastic.
Thanks, Gennaro.
We've gone into Gennaro Contaldo's dream.
It would, all that would be there would be sea bream.
Do you know what would be there?
Fried sea bream.
Do you know what would be there?
200 grams of sausages.
That's what would be there.
Yeah, good. I'm glad there's 200 grams of sausages there. That's what kicks you out of the dream to bring you up a level. 200 grams of sausages.
Gennaro, what are we going to do with your dream? We're going to go...
Inside.
Yeah, inside a dream. Ah!
Done it again.
Stop, he's terrifying.
Got it again. We've got it. Oh, so deep in a dream.
Oh.
Oh, wow. I don't... Have you got something... Have you got a totem?
I'm going to spin my...
Don't spin that. Please don't spin that. Oh, that's what... All right. I thought you were going to spin what you usually spin in your quiet times.
My packer. I can just see if I can keep my packer... If I can keep my packer up, then it's real.
No, it's not. It's the opposite. If you can... I don't, what is that?
It's
that
my driver's
face.
License.
Can you show that to a camera? Put that to the camera.
Okay.
Put that to the camera nearest to you, right?
It's looking
I'm going to wait for
now.
It to switch.
Is that... Is he on
I'm
that
wait
one?
For Danny to switch it.
Can he see it? Is that it?
No, you need to focus it. Bring it out a bit.
All right.
There it is. Can you see? Oh. There it is. Look at that face. Look at it. Oh, God. It's horrible. He's zooming in. Can we get him? No, tilt it a bit. Tilt it.
I'm just going to hold it there.
By the way. No, yeah, there we go. You just focus into that, Danny. If you watch it on... Oh, there it is. Oh, if you're only listening on the radio, this is terrible.
Terrible radio.
No idea what's happening.
Terrible radio.
If you're only listening, though, you can watch us on the... You can watch live. There's a watch live button.
RadioYorkshire.co.uk. Yeah, there's a watch live button there. What on earth were we talking about before we went 50 levels into that dream?
I'm so deep in this dream.
Deep in this dream right now.
It's so... I don't know how to get out. How do we get out?
I don't know. I've literally got no ideas for you. You've got to... You have to have that thing, that feeling like you're falling, aren't they? So maybe I should push you out of your chair and see if that wakes you up to the next level.
I think that's the only way, isn't it?
The only way is Essex.
I think that's the only way we can do it.
I don't know. I've no idea. I've never been in this situation before, Ross, so I don't know how to handle myself.
Do you know who can help us?
This is the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
It's true, it's Ross Briley and Joshua Sadler with you until it gets ever so dark and then we all have to go home to bed. That's 10 o'clock in everyone else's language. That's when I go to bed. I don't know about you.
You go to bed at 10 o'clock.
I do. I go to bed at 10 o'clock. I am up at 8 and the early bird catches the worm and I am a worm catcher. That's my job.
Well, good for you. I'm glad that those hours and habits work for you and your lifestyle.
Thank you very much.
They do not for me, sir.
No, you don't know. I often think you should get up earlier.
Do you?
I just think you'd be better.
Thanks, Ross. I think you should get up earlier because I think you would be a better person.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't doubt that. I think
you should face
right.
I think you should attack the day. Attack the day.
What is this advice? Ross, don't start again.
Attack
if
the day.
If you play that again, I promise I'll just stop playing it.
I think if I play that again, we're so deep in a dream, we won't be able to get out.
Exactly. So I've got an excuse for not getting out of bed early in the morning. If you stop playing it...
Is that why? Because you're...
Playing it, I promise I will get out of bed earlier.
Actually, no, because then that means I'll get... If I get up and you're... I quite like it getting up and you not being up.
Because then you've got the house to yourself. You've got your own house to yourself.
It's hard to get out of bed when your body's there next to me. Did we say we live in a one bedroom flat?
We live in a bed seat. Above a takeaway restaurant in Chapel Allerton.
Yes, it really is the life I've always dreamt of.
It's lovely, but it stinks of onions.
We're so deep in this dream.
Yeah, we are very deep in this dream, to the point that I think everybody listening is probably bored of this dream now.
If there's one thing you know about me, Josh, it's that I'd get bored a lot later than everyone else does.
You do, don't you? And again, you're not middle of the road, are you? You like to go to the extremes.
I do like to go to the extremes.
The tedious extremes.
Because eventually it comes back round again.
And becomes funny again.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's what I'm hoping for my life.
I don't think this show is long enough for it to come back round.
No,
for it to
not.
Be funny.
We were talking about things that sometimes people can't understand why people like it.
They can't understand why someone would be into that.
No.
There's a lot of people listening that would think, I can't understand why they think it's funny to keep playing that noise.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's the overall impression I'm giving people, yeah. Is that fair enough?
I'd say so, yeah. I do think, actually, maybe a lot of things that I like now, being 28 years of age, are things that...
I thought you meant, like, almost 2 hours into the show. Things I like now are very different to what they were at 7 o'clock.
At the start of the show. I liked the film Inception at the start of the show, but now is a different story. But obviously, you go down a path with things, don't you?
You do.
You get more and more extreme with your views. No, you don't.
Well... Is that why my dad is toying with UKIP? Is that why...
Probably, yeah.
Well,
they started off in the centre.
You say that you get more conservative as you get older.
Do they say that?
Yeah.
I think conservatives might say that.
No, that's the idea, that you get more conservative as you get older, because obviously then people... Because when you're younger, it's, everyone has... And then you get older and you go, but now I've got my stuff and...
I don't want other people to have it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I hope that I get liberal as I get older. I won't. I'm very aware of how naive that is, probably. But I'd like to think...
How liberal is an onion? Is the title of my next book. In bookstores.
Well, it's a popular vegetable in France, and they're quite liberal.
They are quite liberal, aren't
they? So, you know, we'll see.
Very pro-industrial action.
It's strange, isn't it? Talking about liberalism through thinly veiled racism. But there you go.
What was it?
Well, xenophobia, maybe.
I suppose.
The French like onions is what I was saying, essentially.
That is what you were saying.
Do you see what I mean?
Oh, you're horrific, man.
You didn't realise that.
But we were saying this earlier. What happens is, again, depending on where you start on a scale, is where you end up on a scale. Obviously, like, if your first
experience
of music, for example, is the top 40, if every week you listen to the top 40 charts, then you're unlikely to eventually end up liking Cannibal Corpse.
It's probably not going to happen. I mean, if you've gone on that journey...
Tweet us in, radio_Yorkshire.
I'd love to see that.
I would love to see that. That'd be fantastic.
Although, to be fair, my musical...
Cannibal Corpse once got to 39.
Really?
No. No.
I nearly believed that
nearly
for a second.
Did you
had me. That's not, again, it's like your story that you'd said. It's not that implausible.
It's not that implausible. It's unlikely, but implausible.
Anyway, if your starting point is an extreme one, you're only going to go further. Well, maybe not, actually. But you've got less distance to travel to get to the extremes of something.
In the sense that, like I said, I used to listen to some relatively obscure music at school, and people would go, "Where were you?"
But why was that? Why would you?
Because there was a person around the corner from my house.
Right. No. So again, why?
Well, the initial story is I met someone else called Ross.
Okay.
Ross Bannister.
And you thought he must? Oh, Ross Bannister. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he took me under his wing because he was half man, half bird. And I was terrified and forced to listen to his music.
Yeah, whereas I got taken on... someone took me under their biscuit because they were half man, half biscuit.
Half biscuit.
And now my musical tastes are very strange.
And all you want for Christmas is a Duke LaPraga Away kit.
Yeah.
And, basically, he would say, oh, you should listen to this band, you should listen to the band. He was getting into Nirvana, Green Day, Lemonheads, that kind of thing. He was like, oh, you have a tape. And he basically... And I was like, yeah, 3 years older than me. I think you're really cool. Yeah, I listen to that music. And then eventually I was like, actually, this is good.
This is what you ended up liking.
Yeah, so I think I had a mentor.
Well, I think, you see, a lot of people say that the music that they're into is because they started listening to the music that their mum and dad liked. And
or
that's
the
kinda,
opposite.
Well, I was the exact opposite.
And you
as
rebelled.
Far as I thought, I don't want to listen to any of this, which unfortunately meant at the time I got into turn of the millennium instrumental dance music, which was things like Zombie Nation and that sort of thing.
That's
which was
a shame, isn't it?
A terrible place to start,
terrible
but I feel like I've come a long way.
Well,
But I mean, to speak
musically.
To that... Yeah, only musically.
Not geographically or mentally or
emotionally. No other thing, or vertically.
Yeah.
None of those things. But like, I think the thing of going against what my parents like meant that... I used to listen to a band called the Mars Volta.
Why don't you anymore?
I do still, but I've just listened to them a lot, so I'm not sick of them, but I've listened to a fair bit of it, yeah.
Right.
And I put it on in the car, genuinely just because I wanted to listen to them, and my dad said, and it's fairly difficult to get into, but my dad said the typical thing of, this is not music, this is just noise. And I said, no, it's really good. He said, no, you don't like this music, you don't like it, you're just listening to it to annoy me.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't understand at all. It was what I liked, but he just thought it was so extreme that, you know, why would you listen to something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I suppose if I've started off at a more extreme point, then, you know, my dad didn't start off by listening to Nirvana or anything like that.
No, and it's not just music. It's also, again, like films. The other side of my... Ross Bannister lived around that corner. And the other side was, I think
David Lynch?
I think it was David Lynch lived next door. And he was filming a little show called Twin Peaks. The guy next door, I distinctly remember I was, what, 10 or something, right. 11? I went around and watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is an incredible film, but normally one that a 10-year-old wouldn't stumble upon.
Right, yeah.
And that opened my eyes into American comedies and things like that, and eventually into more strange films and things like Evil Dead. I remember watching Evil Dead.
Okay, yeah.
And there's a film called Bubba Hotep, which stars...
I've heard the name, I've just no idea what it is.
It's amazing. It stars Bruce Campbell, who, of course, was in Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And essentially, the premise is Elvis Presley didn't die. He was replaced by an Elvis impersonator who then died. And then Elvis retired, and then he ends up in a retirement home with JFK.
Okay.
But JFK, he didn't die either. The original JFK was dyed black and moved into this retirement home. And then a mummy is abandoned. Mummy on the way to a...
like an Egyptian mummy.
An Egyptian mummy on the way to a museum falls off the back of a truck and comes back to life and breaks into the old people's homes and tries to suck the souls out of the old people to keep his life going. And JFK and Elvis have to defeat the mummy.
That sounds like one of your stories that you wrote when you were 11.
Yeah,
wasn't one of those?
No, it's definitely a film. It's a real film.
How old were you when you saw that? Because I think maybe that film has influenced your creative writing ever since.
No, I was a bit older. But the thing is, I showed it to my dad. I mean, I watched it with my mum and dad. I said, I love this film. It's great. We should watch it. My mum actually quite enjoyed it. And my dad watched the whole film and went, what a load of tripe. And just walked out of the room. And that was it. And went to the pub. That was it. That's the only response. And then that was about 10 years ago. Mm. And every time something comes up, he goes, it's not like that whole Bubba Tap or whatever it is.
There is nothing quite so creative as Dad's intentional misremembering of the names of things.
Exactly. So if you're listening, Dad, let's get together and watch Obi Bubba Tap once.
This is the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
The sea. Biffy Clyro there, an example of a band that started out on the extremes and have gone very much middle of the road.
They've gotten more conservative as they've got older, haven't they, essentially? Yeah.
Yeah, essentially, that's exactly what's happened.
That's exactly what's happened, yeah.
Oh, well, there we go. So is life.
Because I just read out the... I said, which Biffy Clyro song do you want to hear? And you went, none of them.
Well, you said, which Biffy Clyro song do you want? And then I started thinking about them, and the list that you gave me a choice of, I was like, well... For a starter, I didn't... know most of them.
Right, okay.
They've jumped the shark for me. That's what's happened with Biffy Clyro. But not for everybody, I'm sure, you know.
Maybe
they've just turned the corner into what some people like.
Yeah, they have, essentially, yeah. Which is what you can, you know, one day that might happen. You might turn the corner into something people like.
People like. I mean, I don't want to, essentially.
I'd rather be niche, for the rest
I'd rather
of
be unique. I'd rather be horrible, you know.
You'd rather be horrible.
Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't rather be horrible. I'd rather just be, you know...
I'd rather just be. Just leave me be, Ross. Just leave me be.
Leave me bees.
Leave me bees. Will you leave my bees out of it? No, that's perfectly understandable. They're your bees.
They're very clicky, my bees, today.
The what?
They're very clicky, making clicky noises.
I thought you meant they were sort of like... They were a cliquey.
A cliquey. Yeah. Is it cliquey or can you... If someone is clicky, it's like... Yeah, they're in a clique. Yeah. Well, they are bees, essentially, in a bit of a clique, aren't they? I mean, they keep themselves to themselves. Unlike wasps.
Unlike wasps, who are very, very much attention seekers, if anything.
Do you know what? Wasps on the extreme, but I don't like them. There's something I don't like them on the extreme.
I think wasps...
There'll be somebody out there. Will be somebody out there that even if the wasps are self-loathing...
Not even the 80s hair metal band Wasp, like Wasp.
I'd like that for a band name.
What?
Wasp. I'd never heard of them. Anyway, but...
It's already taken.
Yeah. Can't have it then, can I?
Yeah.
But, I think...
No one likes wasps.
Somebody out there must like wasps.
At @radio_Yorkshire, if you like wasps. Does anyone like wasps? No one likes wasps.
I don't know why
the wasp parents like them. They're just disappointed.
I make it... All right, maybe not like. There must be someone who's interested in wasps.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, yeah. The people who study wasps.
Everybody has to look... The wasp's mother must love them.
No, that's not true.
You don't think?
No, not at all, no.
Wasps don't have a mother's love?
No, not at all. But how could they possibly?
I don't know.
Disgraceful things. Horrible things. If you're listening, wasps, you can sod off.
But they're fearless as well, because it's not like, you know, if a bee's going to sting you, he's got one chance and then he's goner. He's going to really hate you. Wasp, nasty little things.
Well, yeah, but you say that, but then bees will sometimes they'll sting you because you swat them away from a can of Coke at your picnic. And then they're like, right, this is what I was going to die for. It's a terrible decision.
Yeah, but at least they can only do it once.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they've chosen that moment. They're like, you know what, of all the things that really annoy me, it's not being able to drink your Coke.
But is that
what?
Is that
to die for it. What? If someone said, you know what, like, oh, what were you willing to die for? You might say, oh, my family or my country or whatever. It wouldn't be the right to drink your Coke.
No, I think what it is they're going, do you know what, without us, this place wouldn't exist. We go around pollinating everything, making your flowers grow, your Coca-Cola flowers, so that you can make your drink out of it. And this is the thanks that we get... And then they lose it, don't they?
So it's some sort of bizarre martyrdom. Is that what they think they're going for?
I think so. They're just annoyed that they're not appreciated. Because wasps don't do any of that.
No, they don't.
They just build...
Wasps, they come along, they go, all right, guys, what's going on here?
What do wasps live in? One, what do wasps live in? And two,
nest.
What time do they go to bed?
A nest.
A nest?
A wasp nest.
Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, okay.
You've seen them.
I haven't seen one, no.
You've not seen a wasp nest?
I've never seen a wasp nest.
You haven't lived. It's great. It stars Kevin...
Why would I see a wasp nest? I'm terrified of them. I'm terrified of one wasp near me.
Yeah, but it's better, you know, you need to know your enemy.
No, you don't.
You do.
Know your enemy. I don't need to know my enemy.
Ding, 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 ding. Or is that Sleep Knowing the Fire?
I don't know. I don't know. Rage Against the Wasps.
Yeah, Rage Against the... Yeah, Wasps Against the Machine.
You know, don't wasp against the machine. Just leave the wasps be.
Just don't leave them be. They're wasps.
Sorry.
Terrible idea. Anyway, what were we talking about? We were going to talk about something else entirely, weren't we?
You're just saying let it be.
Yeah, I was. New story of the day was what I was going to do.
Yeah.
New story of the day. Is that a jingle for it?
That's the lamest jingle for anything ever.
News. There's something's happened, hasn't it?
Same level.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. On Radio Yorkshire. Look, I'm just going with what I've been given.
That's fine, yeah, you know. When life gives you lemons, go out. Buy some oranges.
Yeah, when life gives you lemons, say, I'm sorry, I've got my hands full. And say, oh, I'm terribly sorry. I thought, did you not order some
lemons?
I'm sorry
about this life, but... I've got an allergy to lemons. Yes. We're not told you this.
I'm not really. If when life gives you lemons, say, can I have a slice of lime in it instead? And they go, yes, of course, yeah. Maybe some cucumber. What is it? Hendrix. I'll have some cucumber. That's. There's other gins are available. In fact, I don't even like it. The Benedict Cumberbatch.
You almost got there. That was almost a link. You were talking about cucumbers, and now we're talking about Cucumberbatch.
Benedict Cucumberbatch. By the way, when I used to work at a call centre, the best ever person that rang up was...
Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, Mr. Quentin Cumbers.
Quentin Cumbers?
That's right, Mr. Cucumbers rang up one day. Seriously, greatest name ever.
No, he didn't.
He did.
That's
he
not real.
He did. Quentin Cumbers. Quentin Cumbers rang up.
I mean, just the name itself is enough. Hello. What was his voice like?
It wasn't like that. It was just normal. I was quite disappointed by the voice. However,
my name's Quentin Cumbers.
Well, I think what the most inspirational thing was, it wasn't Quentin that I was so excited about. It was his parents who saw an opportunity and took it. They said, look, my name's Cumbers. What are we going to call our son? And you say, someone had said, you've got to call him someone with a Q. They were Mr. Q Cumbers. And they went, yes, finally we are going to ruin this boy's life, which we've just created out of nothing.
I used to be friends with someone at school that was called Winston Churchill. His parents had called him Winston Churchill.
Oh, yes. What they'd have done, they'd have been there going, it's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it? And then they'd registered it and gone, the Prime Minister. Oh, no, I forgot about him. And that's it, and they're stuck with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than having his name, his full name, the dog from the advert.
Yeah, yeah. But you're a bit like the dog from the advert. New story of the week is that Benedict Cumberbatch is a bloody good Hamlet, says his mum.
His mother,
yeah. The much-anticipated Hamlet at the Barbican in London has been greeted with decidedly mixed reviews, but at least one audience member jumped to the defence of star Benedict Cumberbatch, jumped to the defence of worldwide multi-millionaire superstar Benedict Cumberbatch. His mother jumped to defence, said it was a bloody good Hamlet, that they were extraordinarily proud. He was quite lively growing up, but I thought that was phenomenal. Which is something my mum would say.
Yeah.
About something I've done, because I'm not Benedict Cumberbatch, and I was both lively growing up and phenomenal now.
But is this the first time that she piped up about anything? Because does that imply that this is the first sort of mildly bad review he's had about something?
Yeah, well, it must be, yeah. Because this is the...
She's been waiting for this moment.
This is the Cumberbatch-lash. Benedict Cumberbatch-lash. That's what I would have gone for. That's my headline.
Well, maybe you should ring him up and tell them.
I will. What's the... when was the last time your mum was proud of you?
I don't know.
Should we get her in?
One day, yeah. I think she'd like to come in and then be on the radio.
Do you think you'd be a bloody good Hamlet?
I don't think I would be.
No, I don't think you'd
I
be
really don't think I would. For a start, I don't know anything about Shakespeare.
No.
I don't know.
You have no...
What Hamlet... I mean, I might be a good... I could dress up as a cigar and walk around, like, you know, trying to sell... So, in that respect, yes, I think I'd make a bloody good Hamlet.
So, basically, what you're saying is if I put you in my mouth and set fire to your head...
I'd do well at it.
You'd be a good Hamlet.
I'd do well at it. And if I did get any bad reviews, my mum would be there
She'd be
saying...
straight in there.
What are you talking about? He's not very good. He's on fire. Look at him.
Look at him. He's lit quite
He's
literally
smoking.
On fire.
He's smoking hot.
That performance was smoking.
This is the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
That was Bruce Springsteen with Born in the USA. Guess where he was born, Josh?
Rochester?
No, sorry, it was Whitby. Whitby, he was born in Whitby.
Whitby Bay?
Born in Whitby! It was, yeah, that was the original.
He loves Scampi, doesn't he?
He loves Scampi, absolutely loves Scampi. He loves it, it's his favourite sea creature, Scampi.
Bruce Springsteen's favourite sea creature.
Have you ever seen a Scampi?
No.
No, you never seen a scampi?
I know what it is. It's like a... not a prawn. What do you call it?
A scampi.
It's a scampi.
It's a scampi.
But it's shellfish, isn't it, essentially?
They're very insular. They're not very generous.
Good. I'm glad that...
Well, thanks. Don't just look at me like that and then say good. Come on. Like, don't pretend like you're better than that joke.
I'm not. But I like to claw some... You know, when you make a boo-boo like that, Ross, I like to let you wallow in it a little bit, because it's usually me that feels bad about who I am.
I just said booby. Just keep saying booby. Boo-boo.
I'm just saying that
to me looking like Yogi
like
Bear?
The bear, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but you do.
I really do.
Yeah.
It's quite disturbing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it's almost time.
It's almost time,
it's
isn't
almost
it?
Time.
We've got about 20 minutes.
It's almost time. That's very ominous, isn't it?
Extremely ominous.
I find if you walk up to people and whisper that in their ear, they get a bit freaked out. It's almost time.
Of course they are going to.
They would get a little bit freaked out.
Who was the first person that you've done that to? What was their reaction?
This.
For God's sake.
It's almost time. Can you imagine if I did that? If I somehow managed to make that noise
out of your mouth?
Out of my mouth.
You would be a wealthy man.
I'm not sure I would.
I think if you had an edit, if you could do that, you could go up to Edinburgh where there was an hour of you just opening your mouth and making that noise. And what you would do is you would do it, and then people would wait. There'd be a long silence, and then someone would start to leave, and then you'd do it again.
And they'd come back.
You
said it again.
And then you'd wait for him to leave again, and then you'd
rich. I think we should make a TV show about it. I think people would love it. Or would they? Or would they hate it? Or would it be middle of the road? That's the question that we were asking earlier and we've kind of lost track of.
Oh, well.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't know. You know, what if you were on the TV just doing that, making that noise, bam.
Yeah, I think people would. I think if I was,
would you put it on your to watch list?
I would.
Netflix?
If I was scrolling through Netflix, yeah, I'd say that's. What would the description be? What would it say?
It would just say B W A A A A A A G G G G H H H.
And a picture of me like just like that.
Yeah,
with my mouth open. Suitable for all ages.
No, there'd be a picture of Yogi Bear.
Picture of Yogi Bear. Yeah, I think we should definitely make this. Because I mean,
the thing
is, that would be the best thing on Netflix.
You would stand out from everything else.
Or
you know, if you go,
insights.
If you're scrolling through, trying to find what you're going to watch for that evening, you would definitely stand out from everything else.
Because I do find that the vast majority of my time on video streaming sites is spent
scrolling through it, deciding what to watch.
Well, yeah, scrolling through the menu, because it's almost as if it's the same as when you go into a restaurant and there's like 40 things on the menu.
Hmm.
It's impossible to choose.
But 40 things that are all relatively, either you've never heard of them or they're not.
Or that you've already eaten.
Yeah.
Or that you've thought about having, but you're just not quite in the mood for it.
Or, you know, you've gone to a restaurant and you think, do you know what? I would absolutely love a T-bone steak. And you get there and it's not on the menu.
It's not on the menu. So you're going to have to have what kind of matches up for T-bone steaks? Or
you
I'm
don't
sure
know.
They had T-bone steak on the menu last week.
The thing is, though, what I've done is to try and combat this is that on a lot of them, you can go through and pick things that you want to watch in the future. So when I've had some spare time, I don't mind doing it. I've done that.
Yeah.
But the problem is when I have to watch a film with someone else.
Yeah, and you're not like you. And you go, do you want to watch this? And they go, I'm not right. And you go, oh, come on, it's bad enough. Just I've made this decision.
It's an excellent film. I'm telling you, it'll be brilliant. But the worst, and my mum is particularly bad at this. I mean, the sentence that she'll always say is,
Ruth.
Yeah, Ruth. Hello, if you're listening, mum. She knows this is true. She said it many times.
She knows this is true.
But she'll say,
like, I am like that.
I don't want anything too. I just want something a bit light-hearted, you know, that I can dip in and out of, that I don't have to be too involved in. You don't want to watch a film, essentially. No film director's gone, right, guys, we're going to make a film that's light-hearted that people can just dip in and out of whenever they please, and it will still. What sort of narrative works where you just take chunks out of it wherever you like?
Can you imagine going to the cinema and going, where are you going, mate? I'm just going to have 10 minutes outside.
Doing what?
Doing
I'm
what?
Just going to put the kettle on.
I just thought I'd go for a walk. I need some fresh air.
Do you want me to pause it? Although I never get that when you're watching something. Do you want me to pause it? No, you're all right.
Don't.
We'll stop watching it then. No, we can carry on. But you're going to miss 10 minutes of it and then ask me about what's just happened in the thing.
Or, for example, what your girlfriend did when we were watching one of my favourite films of time the other night. And it's quite a harrowing film.
Yeah.
But it's also quite a darkly comic. It's a film called Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very good if you can see it. And we were watching that and there was just one tiny little bit
that she found unrealistic.
And she went, they wouldn't do that. Why would they do that? That's terribly unrealistic. That spoiled my entire enjoyment of the film. And all the rest of the film, all that cultural capital, all that trust we've built up with it, that one tiny, slightly unrealistic bit has ruined it. That's it, I've had enough. And
stormed out.
I nearly killed her.
Did you?
I nearly killed her. If she hadn't been your girlfriend, I'd have said, listen, love.
What are you doing in my living room?
Why are you in my living room? And more importantly, why are you slagging off my favourite films? But yeah, that drove me,
It did drive you potty a bit.
It did. If anything, I wish you'd dipped in and out of that bit.
Really? Oh, right, dipped out of that bit so that she'd just missed that bit over and come back and gone, this is an excellent film.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
I haven't missed anything.
What do you think about that? It wasn't even that. Anyway, it's not like as if suddenly
they jumped
9 feet in the air.
I think with these things, I just want something I can. Because I'm not like that. I always want to watch something serious. Like, I want to watch, like, Dead Man's Shoes or something harrowing
If you just reference one of the only 10 films you've seen, haven't you? That's you're trying to think, what can I say?
Inception, I've seen that.
You have seen it? No, I'm not.
Don't do it again.
I'm going to do it when it's inappropriate.
All right, okay. But you know what I mean? Something involved, something that I have to put some effort into.
Because otherwise, what's the point?
It's a toilet book otherwise. It's just something you pick up and put down at your
toilet book.
You're a festival toilet book. That's what you are.
You're a festival of toilet books.
A festival of toilet books. Well, that'd be, you know, you could just dip in out of it, couldn't you?
You could, the toilet. Don't do that.
Don't dip him out of the toilet. Especially not as a festival toilet. You don't want to be all sorts of things going on there.
Oh.
But, you know, maybe one day they'll have Netflix in the festival toilet.
That could work.
You can spend your whole time in your toilet scrolling through and deciding what you want to watch.
Yeah.
And then you're finished. You just...
Are you done yet? No, there's still 38 minutes left. If you're going to dip in and out of it, don't watch a film. I think is the...
Well, it makes it more difficult for me as wanting to watch something serious and they just want a light-hearted comedy that's really nobody's bothered about watching. What's in between those two things?
Yeah, and it's also it's a similar thing when you, if you go on a date to the cinema as well.
Yeah. Not only I've never done that, only because I think, well, maybe as a later on date, but as an early date, I always think, I'm going to take you to sit in a dark room and say nothing for 2 hours.
And watch something. Potentially, I don't know you well enough to know that you're not hating this.
Yeah, exactly.
And
even if you were, you
me.
Wouldn't pipe up about it. No one's going to stand up halfway through. Actually, I think Persephone might stand up halfway through a film and go, this is annoying, I'm going to leave.
This is terrible, we should all leave.
Yeah. But yeah.
So what's the overriding lesson here?
I think, you know, have a strategy for Netflix. Or other streaming services that you may use.
Yeah. What is the strategy?
Mine is to be prepared in advance.
Yeah.
Take some time. When you've got nothing else to do, take some time out.
Right.
Plan through what you might watch in the future. And also, watch it by yourself in the dark. It's much more enjoyable.
You're like a video streaming Baden Powell.
Really? Oh, yeah.